Has smiled upon me, and as the schedule came out for preaching, I got to preach on Super Bowl Sunday. This is very exciting. One reason why it's exciting is because the Super Bowl is not being played in Jacksonville, Florida this year, and kickoff is not till about 6:30. So put away your cell phones, cover up your watches. I've got plenty of time. And you'll be home in time for the kickoff, I promise. Amen. Well, you know what's amazing to me about Super Bowl Sunday? It's not always the best team that year that gets there. It is always the team that played very well and got some incredible breaks throughout the entire season that allows them the opportunity to play in the game. But nonetheless, tonight at some point in time, there will be a new National Football League champion team crowned. And you know all the stories that are going around and all this world. There's always side stories. There's always this insight and this human interest and this thing going on and that thing going on. I mean, come on, who doesn't know that two brothers are coaching against each other for the first time in NFL's history? Who doesn't know that mama is tore up over this thing? I mean, come on, how would you like to be Mrs. Harbaugh? You know, you got both your sons coaching against each other. One of them is going to be tremendously happy. One of them is going to be really sad, but yet happy for the one that won because that's their... I mean, it's such a good human interest story. It kind of gets us all into it. And then you got the story of Ray Lewis retiring after 15 years. And I'm sure your ears have heard what my ears has heard. I mean, he started out pretty rough. There's a lot of shadows and gray areas in his life. But God got a hold of this man and changed this man. And he now lives his life and his pro football career for the glory of God. Talk about something that was nothing and making it into something really good. God has taken this man, given him a platform, and he is able to sing forth the praise and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ at a national platform for all to hear. That's exciting to me. And let's not forget about the other side story playing. There's plenty of them playing out. But the other side story playing out about Michael Orr, offensive lineman for the Baltimore Ravens, who happens to be the guy that the movie Blindside was written about. He is the guy who was adopted. He is the guy who was homeless, taken in by a family. And he is the guy that was able to be propelled to a national platform because of the love of one family. This is so exciting. Unfortunately, I don't know about you, but for me, I have watched just about every Super Bowl since 1971. The game is usually a letdown. It's very rare there's an exciting Super Bowl game. I mean, usually one team just comes out flat, the other team comes out on fire, and it's Katie bar the door, the game's over by halftime, usually. Now, there have been exceptions, which really make it a little more exciting for those of us who just enjoy the game of football. Okay? I enjoy the game of football. I used to really enjoy the game of baseball. But I'm not as invested in baseball as I once was, but I love the game within the game. And in football, there's a game within the game going on. Where am I going with all this? Oh, I hope you're going to see real soon. There's a game within a game going on in football. I happened to go online yesterday, and I checked StubHub. You heard of StubHub? That's where you can find tickets to sporting events. It's a national internet site. I went on StubHub, typed in Super Bowl tickets. A mere $1,500 will get you a seat in the nosebleeds. $1,500 that you could get tickets. on stuff. I don't know what it is today. It might be even more. That's a lot of money. And, you know, people have paid a lot of money. A lot of corporations get the comp tickets, and there's fancy people there, and there's famous people there. But people have paid money. They've paid money to watch the game. How disappointed would they be if the entire game was nothing but a huddle? Certainly you know about the huddle. The huddle. This is where the offensive team and defensive teams have huddles too, but they're not as intense as the offensive team's huddle. The offensive team gets in a huddle and they talk, and they have up to 30 seconds or 25 seconds to call their play, depending on if you're pro or college. You got a certain amount of time to call your play, and then you got to make the play. Well, you've paid $1,500 or more to watch the play, not the huddle. You want to see the result of what that huddle does, but you don't necessarily care about that huddle unless it's to run up and go grab some more peanuts. Get back before the next play. But let's face the facts. We're there to see the play. We're there to see what they drew up. And you know what? You didn't pay $1,500 to be pre-season or off-season with all those athletes as they're doing their physical training, as they're doing their weight training, as they're studying their tapes, as they're studying the playbook, as they're doing all their off-season conditioning. You didn't pay $1,500 to watch them prepare for that game. You didn't pay $1,500 to watch them at practice when they're going through the walkthroughs and you go here and you go there. You didn't pay $1,500 to see that. But I guarantee you the reason why you paid $1,500 is because they did all that. It's and you didn't pay for the huddle, you paid for the play, but you're getting more than just the huddle. You're getting all the practice, all the preparation, all the time spent in the film room watching what the opposing team does and doesn't do, what their inclinations are this play and that play. And don't get me started on the quarterback. The quarterbacks in the NFL are some of the smartest people in the world, especially when it comes to their world in the sphere of football. When you recognize the fact that a quarterback in professional football, he doesn't just have one play he's calling. He's calling one play, but for the quarterback within that play, he has to know what all other 10 players are doing on that exact play. He's got to know who his primary receiver is. He's got to know who's hot, meaning if a blitzer is coming in, that automatically throws the play off and it calls another play in the middle of the play. What? How do he, you know, but it's because, and then he knows who is secondary, and then you hear him talk about checking down, the quarterback's checking down his receivers. Every play has a priority of receivers, and if he has five eligible men on that one play, he has five different checkdown opportunities to go from one to this to see who's open, to see who's available, and he has to follow the pattern. He knows the pattern because he studied the book. He studied the book because he wants to be able to be good at the game. And in the middle of the game, he has about 7 seconds to get through the entire process, if he's lucky. Wow. That's a lot. Doesn't that feel like life sometimes? We're just going along, and all of a sudden, bam, life hits us. We got to do something fast. I hope we're prepared. I hope our life becomes more than just a huddle. You know, I was trying to think about this. Football and the Christian life have a lot in common. We're kind of huddling today. This is our huddle. You came here today because you came to the house of God because you wanted to worship God. You wanted to participate in the Eucharist. You wanted fellowship and community with those that are like-minded. And you came maybe to hear something, learn something. Hopefully. I hope I don't disappoint on that end. But this is our huddle. This is where we call the play of how we're going to live our life next week. This is our huddle. The world, our realm of influence, for those who do not serve the Lord or do not know the Lord or have walked away from the Lord, they don't care about this huddle. Ah, but they care about what you do. When life comes at you, when they're watching, they do care about that. They want to know how we react. They want to know how we respond. Huh. That's interesting to me. Your prayer time at home. Your prayer time at home. Your study time at home. That's studying the playbook. That's learning how to do it. That's learning, that's getting all the good stuff in you. So when the bad stuff out there comes at you, the good stuff is what comes out. Well, no, I'm assuming that's what we're putting in us. I know I fall short a lot of the time. But we're looking at it. excuse me. But the Lord, the Lord needs to come out of us in the midst of those who do not know Him, so they might know Him. Especially if they're not coming to our practices or our film room or our huddle, so they can come out. Vince Lombardi, arguably the most successful professional football coach of all time, had a reputation for being hard, being tough, but knowing how to win football games, knowing how to strategize things. Thank you. What we need here is some strategery. But he could bring the best out of the players. He could orchestrate a team. He won, I think it was 7 national championships, 7 Super Bowls. The Green Bay Packers dynasty. It was the dynasty of the 60s and 70s. Tremendous. Well, one particular game, it's reported that after they had been humiliated in a game, this is a top-tier, the best, everybody wanted to be like them team, but on any given Sunday, any team can beat anybody. He rallied his team in the locker room, and he began one of his speeches. He says, "Gentlemen, we just got humiliated out there. And I believe it's because we've lost our focus and we lost our purpose. So we are going to go back to the fundamentals. We are going to go back to the basics when we hit practice on Monday." And then he reached behind him and he picked up a ball. He said, "This is a football." Funny. But boy, if you were in that locker room, I'll bet you that was pretty intense at that moment. This is a football. Church of Messiah, Christians, fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord, this is the Word of God. This is our fundamental. This is our basic. But it's better than any football. This is life. This is healing. This is freedom to the captives. This is restoration. This is reconciliation. This is the living, breathing life of the God that we serve. I don't know about you, but our basics is who we are. In our huddle time, in our prayer time, in our preparation time, we need to be putting this in us. That it is the only thing coming out of us in the world. If we get to know God at this level, those around us will know Him as well, because of what they see coming out of us. John, in the Gospel of John, it tells us, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And further along in the chapter it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What? The Word? You mean, okay, this is the Word. This is the life. This is all that we are, all that we ever hope to be. Is in this. It is the life and breath of the God that we serve. And He manifested this in another man by sending His Son Jesus to live, walk among us, showing us what this looked like on two legs. It sounds kind of simple, and I don't mean to bring it down that, but it's so true. We did a song at Praise and Worship. Jesus, the most beautiful name that I know. You're the exalted one. At the mention of your name, what, at the mention of your name, darkness flees. Chains are loosed. How do we mention the name of Jesus? By declaring the Word of God. It doesn't just have to be His name. They are interchangeable, and they can't be separated. We need to recognize the power and the authority of what has been planted in us. So darkness flees. So chains are removed. Not just from us, but from those who are bound up around us. They need to know what we know. Cindy and I have had an opportunity recently to be counseling a couple who are getting ready to get married. And it's from outside of our church, but they're Christians, but I think we can honestly, they're nominal Christians. And the first time we met with them, the first meeting that we had, the first opportunity I had to meet with the gentleman, he was saying, well, where do you get all your research and all that? You know, he was being very, you know, what classes have you taken? What books have you studied on marriage counseling? I said, well, I've got Cindy 101 under my belt. And I've got the Bible. He looked at me, goes, well, no offense. I know you're in ministry and all that kind of stuff, but I don't believe that book. I don't believe everything in it. That was his honest answer. And I appreciated his honesty. I said, well, that's fine, however you feel about it, but you need to know how I feel about it. I said, because anything you get from me is going to come from there. And things transpired. Cindy and I did get to do their counseling, and every time we did one, he asked more and more questions. He wanted to know more and more. And the Lord opened up more and more doors. We turned a tremendous corner in those times, and now we're done with counseling. They called us up last week. Hey, we just want to hang out. Can you guys come over for a little while? So we did. And he wanted to make sure I knew what version of the Bible we had, that he'd been reading the Bible. Now, that was because what was coming out of me. It wasn't me. But it's what was coming out of me. It was this word that was coming out of me. And we were able to, in the middle of a counseling session, he goes, man, that's great wisdom. Where did you get that from? I said, Ephesians. Hey, man, that's tremendous. I would have never thought of that. How did you figure that one out? Corinthians. I mean, you couldn't get away from it. That's what comes in. It's what comes out. Did you know that you can affect your very life, your world, your influence, your job, your family, your relationships, your neighbors? You go down the. You can affect everyone by what comes out of you, positive and negative. If we're back to the basics, and this word is what's coming out of us, you'll be shocked and surprised at what God and His Spirit will do in your behalf. I'm very excited today because I'm not the only one you're going to hear. We have a testimony from among us. A testimony of, I hope, that connects some of the dots here of what I'm saying. So Jane, if you...